Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
Hey, y'all. Are you an avid listener to My Doula Micah? And you want to be more involved? You want to support? You want to be a subscriber? You want to get ad-free podcasts? You want to see some video content or never-before-seen footage, extra additional content, maybe even some merchandise at a discounted price, and you want to benefit from that? Then go to patreon.com/mydoulamicah and jump in to the fun. All right, let's move on to Miss Demi.
Okay, so Demi was a very unique season in my life. I was due December 12, but we scheduled her birth for December 5 mm-hmm. because we were in the thick of a very successful season with Baylor Volleyball.
Yep.
2019.
Yep.
We had a Final Four run, mm-hmm. Big 12 champions, just a very good team. And she was due right yep. in the midst of postseason.
And this basically, when Sam called me to go, hey, I'm pregnant again, put me on the books, and we got together, this is pretty much all we talked about was the scheduling of this baby. I love it so much. And she's like, okay, here's the thing. I am not missing that. And I'm like, okay, girl. Then we even talked about, do you remember this? We even talked about if we start traveling and we have to go to, Nebraska or Alabama. She goes, you're coming with me on the charter bus because at least I'll have you.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She was cracking me up.
So they, you know, there's a lot of worry about flying. Like there's a certain week where you're not supposed to fly. And so I was very hopeful. The way postseason works is if you are highly seated, you get to host at home. So we were good. I was hopeful that we would get that. But if we didn't, which is very possible, there's a lot of other good teams, we were going to need to fly. And so I was begging Carrie. Carrie would probably laugh at all this too, because I was constantly, this is all we talked about as well, was the timing.
Yeah.
And we got to a point where I was like, well, if you fly Micah with you, maybe I'll sign off. So I was like, okay, well, then that's what we're
done.
Doing. Yeah.
Hilarious.
So I had kind of prepped you for that. Like, hey, what do you think?
I think
you were game. But
totally game. I'm like, are you kidding me? Baylor charter bus?
Yeah.
The volleyball
game?
My husband's going to be so jealous. Yeah. I love it. I'm going to interject real quick. Because once you checked those boxes, you were good.
Yeah.
And this is a testament to how important your mindset is, you guys. So if there is something nagging at you while you're pregnant and you don't deal with it and figure it out, maybe it is, what are we going to do with our dogs while we go into, who's going to take care of them? If you don't deal with that and solve that problem quickly, it's going to eat you alive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's super important that you are mentally checking the boxes as well while you're pregnant so that you're not carrying all that stress with you before birth.
Yeah, the mind definitely leads the body.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
So,
yes, ma'am.
I had had...
And that's coming from a coach, y'all.
Yes, it's so true.
So true.
Because that's basically the story of all my births. Like, where was I at mentally? And what was my outcome? And they're very correlated, but... we ended up being able to host, so we didn't have to fly until the Final Four, which was in Pittsburgh. So I had that's why we scheduled. So this was different because with Malachi, water broke naturally.
Right.
Not nothing scheduled. And with Demi, went into the hospital, had a balloon inserted. I had not done, why does the word escape me? What's it called when you...
Induction?
Induction, yeah. I had not been induced.
Right.
So this was all new. And mentally, I was ready to get it done because we were playing USC, I think on December 6th or 7th.
It was the day after.
Yeah, so the 6th.
She was born.
So the 6th. So I go. I must have gone in the night of the 4th, got in a balloon, and the insert of the balloon was not, I didn't enjoy that. And then
I just love how you put that. I just didn't enjoy that.
Oh.
No, it is not comfortable, you guys. You're not supposed to enjoy it.
No. Okay. So then I slept through the night with this balloon in, and that just kind of slowly gets you ready. Mm-hmm. And then you and I are mostly, really, the pro tip is to have you, Micah, communicating with your partner. Or your, mm-hmm. you know, for me, James, my husband. Mm-hmm. And so I think y'all were probably communicating. And so I'm next morning. Honestly, Demi's is so, I do remember.
Your sisters were there.
My sisters came. And this experience was different. There's some really positive things.
Right.
The one thing that may, so we were, I was kind of thinking, I've done this once.
Yes.
I'm obviously, no, it's not going to be the same. But like, I'm thinking, like, I know what I'm doing here.
Of course.
Probably wrong to think that.
No, it's not necessarily wrong. You're right. It was a different experience because you're on Pitocin.
Yeah. And so I still knew I needed Micah. Obviously, that part I got right. But I probably went wrong mentally thinking, like, okay, I'm looking at an old map, which was the map of Malachi for this birth.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the same game plan, right? Yeah. So, I was a little more restricted, I think, because Demi, they needed to monitor her differently than maybe what...
Because of the meds that you're getting, yes.
Yeah. So that was a challenge for me in pain management because I couldn't move around in the same way.
Yeah.
Now, there were still methods and things to be done.
But limited, you're right.
But it was tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I wasn't mentally prepared for is... And of course, now I think back, I'm like, duh, my body knew what it was doing.
Yes.
And so it moved along faster than like what Malachi's birth
had. Yep.
And I didn't know how fast I was moving. So I was restricted to this bed. I'm like in the fetal position, just like trying to manage. And I remember kind of talking with you at one point. I'm like, I literally cannot do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in so much freaking pain.
You reached your end, your edge, your line. Sooner.
It moved so much sooner.
And so that's really hard to wrap your head around, you guys, when you're not prepared for that. And so I'm going to just tell you, you were having a hard time trusting your body that it really was doing what it was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you can also remember is how long the first one was. And now you're already at that boundary line. Wait, and we're only an hour, what, three? Heck no, I'm not doing this for another 12 hours.
Yeah, so way I would describe it is like the whole like frog in the boiling water deal.
Yeah.
So with Malachi's, while I would much rather have a faster labor, I was kind of prepared for like the water to slowly get hot.
Gradually.
Yeah, yes. And like with Demi's, I wasn't mentally unfortunate to me. So this is my own fault. I wasn't mentally ready for it to like turn up so fast. So I wasn't in the mental place. And that's why I said the mind leads the body. I wasn't in the mental place to take on transition, I think, as fast as it came.
Right.
And so then I remember being like, dude, just fine. Order the epidural because I'm if I can't move around and do my lunges and do all this stuff, like I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I'm dying.
Right.
I'm dying over here.
Yep.
So we did order it.
Yep.
And it takes some time.
It does.
And so finally,
y'all, just because you say I'm done, I want the epidural, it does not mean you're done. You better buckle up.
Oh.
And now you have got to focus like you never have before because you are not done.
No.
More than likely, you will not feel relief for probably sometimes it's close to an hour, you guys. From the time you say I want the epidural and then they go order it and your anesthesiologist gets in there and now they've prepped you and now they put it in, then it takes 15 minutes for the meds to get to your body. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So So they, oh my gosh, so so true. So I, we get it ordered exactly like what she said. It took some time. He, I'm still in the bed because I'm being, I can't move around because of the way, there's a monitor system that they can put around your leg and, or around your belly, and it allows you to move. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working for Demi. So mm-hmm. I had to stay like right there.
Yeah.
And
that's because you were on Pitocin.
Yes. Okay. That's right. And so, he gets in, you know, so I'm in more pain. I'm in pain. The anesthesiologist comes in. And this is the part that I remember clearly. I probably could have had baby.
Oh, yeah. Y'all, she's pushing. She's grunting while they're putting the epidural in her back.
And this is where you need Micah is to my either right or I want to say she's to my right. And the anesthesiologist kind of gives her the side eye because I go to sit up and sitting up and finally letting gravity induce. Mm-hmm. My body was like, we've been ready.
Yep.
Now that you're up, mm-hmm. let's push the baby out.
Mm-hmm.
And uncontrolled pushing. I wasn't. It's yes. like
it's nuts.
Involuntary.
It is.
Pushing started.
Yes.
And he looks at Micah and he's like, is she pushing? And I gave you the eyeballs of like, don't you dare.
Tell him, I want this epidural. I've already decided I'm getting this epidural.
Oh, which, y'all, that's the mental piece. Like,
yeah,
I just,
totally.
You have to be, if you want all natural, and this is where, again, I'm not going to say I went wrong in a bad sense, but
right.
if I wanted the outcome of all natural, mm-hmm. I mentally was closed off to that.
Yeah. Once a mama says mentally, I am done, and you've already decided you're done, and you checked out mentally, there's almost nothing I can do.
It's hard to reopen
to get
that
you back.
Door.
Oh, very, very hard. Almost impossible. And so we were going down this path. Whether she needed it or not, I kept looking. I was like, a baby's about to be born right here while she's getting her epidural. I mean, this baby is coming.
I looked at her like, don't you dare tell him I'm pushing. But I was pushing. Mm-hmm. But he put it in. Mm-hmm. At, I mean, which was so dumb when I think back to it because I'm like, I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that slowed things down.
Mm-hmm.
So that it is maybe not true. I've, you know, been at 3 births, but I have read that the epidural slows things down. That is exactly what it did for me. I mm-hmm. probably could have pushed Demi out right then and there.
Yep.
My body was doing it.
Yep.
And I get the epidural. It was sweet relief. I will give
The
crowd that.
Yep.
But it slowed things down.
Mm-hmm.
I think I then got back in the bed. And so I don't, I kind of feel like a bad mom because I'm like,
no.
She was like ready to come out and like, who knows? Like, I'm just thankful that she was born healthy and there were no complications because that kept her inside me a little longer, which mm-hmm. is now it's kind of scary to think about. But it slowed things definitely way down.
Yeah.
And then I think I pushed her out much faster. You can't feel anything.
Mm-mm.
I think I pushed her out a little. Again, my mind is like, I think I pushed her out faster.
You did. Yes.
So but I'm like, I don't remember.
Yeah. You didn't need to feel a whole lot with her because your body was already doing it.
Yeah.
So what happened with the epidural, because it's kind of this muscle relaxer and like the strongest muscle relaxer you've ever had. And then it numbs everything. That involuntary pushing kind of stopped because your body is now relaxing. We've
so
told
she
it
was just
to slow down.
There.
So she's just kind of chilling.
Yeah.
Basically.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Hey, guys. Have you heard about Blossom Shop in Clifton, Texas? For all of your floral needs, for special occasions and important events, whether it's a wedding, a baby shower, a birthday party, or hint, hint, Christmas right around the corner and that fun party that you want to host, Heather Rest has got you covered for all of your floral needs.
And so then once you did engage and put forth any effort whatsoever to push, it just didn't take as long.
Yeah. So if I could go back, because my hope was always the outcome of all natural, because I really enjoyed the recovery with that. I felt it was fast. Well, there's a lot of reasons,
mm-hmm.
Pros to doing that. But if I could do it over, I just mentally needed to be in a different place. But, you know, and have an understanding that it wasn't going to be the same as Malachi's birth.
Right.
And anyways, she was born. It was fine. I went and coached USC the next day. I think you were either at the game.
I was at the game.
So, and we were texting.
Yes, we were texting.
Like literally maybe like right, like a minute before the game started. I'm probably like texting you.
Yep.
And Demi was at the game.
Yeah.
Her and my husband sat in the locker room. And yeah, so we brought, and then she flew with us to Pittsburgh 2 weeks later. It was wild.
It was wild. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Moving on to Mr. Micah.
Okay, so this is the only birth that Micah wasn't at.
I was not at this one.
I had my good friend Rachel White there, who's she's had five.
I actually remember we had a conversation, or we were texting back and forth, and you, I could see it in your text, hear it in your voice. This, what's the word? Just feeling ambivalent. Just you could not land. That's what it really was. You could not land. You go, I don't know what I want. And I was offering some suggestions. Have you thought about this? You might be a good candidate for this. And you're like, I don't know what I want. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I just did not. Honestly, two young kids, COVID, you're home every day. I'm not used to that. I'm a working mom. I was just, I want a family. I wanted to grow my family. But at the time that Micah was born, I was exhausted.
Yeah. That's a big deal, y'all.
Exhausted. Yeah.
Because you know what it takes.
Yeah.
To give birth. And you're like, oh, I'm in no frame of mind. Nowhere where I need to be to pull this off.
No. No, that's exactly right. And so I did have my membranes swept. That was an attempt to get things going. It didn't work for me.
Yeah. It doesn't start labor, y'all. It's just one more little symptom that's cueing your body. Hey, we're getting close.
Yeah.
That's really all it does. It really does not put you in labor.
It did not. Yeah. And it did not for me. So we get into the hospital and I remember texting Carrie because she wasn't actually the one that was kind of checking. I can't remember which one. There's three of the midwives.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, she's going to need the balloon. So my husband's like, Sam, just do it. So I get it this time. Getting it in didn't hurt. Mm. So I'm like, oh, that was different. Because for Demi, it was actually pretty uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then Micah, they put it in and they're like, okay, go to bed, whatever. I'm like, great, I'm going to go to bed. So I go to bed. You were not involved in this birth. I go to bed. And with Demi, I slept through the night with the balloon. It was fine.
Mm-hmm.
With Micah, I'm like, dude, this, like maybe like an hour after getting the balloon, I'm like, had two babies. Yeah. This feels like
different.
Feels like contractions. Okay, but I'm just gonna go to sleep. It's fine. I wake up. I did not realize this until later that I was in full blown labor. I did not know it because I was really trying to follow like the age old advice of just go to sleep.
Uh-huh. Ignore it. Yeah.
So I had such a hard contraction at like 3 in the morning or something. It actually lifted my body up. The contraction lifted me up. And so I'm like, James, I turned to my husband. I'm like, James, I am in serious pain. And he, same thing, kind of like dealt with the Demi one where I slept through the night. He's like, Sam, just go to bed. Like, you're fine. And I'm like, man, this is really, really tough. So I asked them to give me some drugs via
the meds, the analgesic meds?
Yeah.
And your IV?
Yeah, and an IV. So they come and they give me it's like a heavy glass of wine.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe more than a glass. And I go back to sleep. And then I'm like, I remember sleeping like in my like, it felt like I was drunken stupor. And I'm like in my dream, like counting my seconds in between contractions as a dream. I was in labor. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And so they give me like through the night. It gets painful. The drugs wear off. I asked for another dose. I think I had three doses.
Yeah.
So the, and I'm like full blown more in labor and not realizing because I'm just continuously getting like, give me another dose.
Uh-huh.
So it's like 6 in the morning or whatever. And James wants coffee thinking like we're in for a doozy here. And he's texting back and forth with Rachel White, who's going to come up and kind of like going to help. And I was like, hey, if you want coffee, go get it now.
Yeah.
Because, I feel like this is going to go fast. And he leaves. There's nobody in the room. I'm like, I'm going to get up and go to the bathroom.
Oh, God.
Same thing that happened with Demi. My body is finally like, oh, she's finally going to stand up and give us some gravity help. I'm in full-blown transition.
Oh, Lord.
Did not know. Because this is what I've been being told the whole time. we're going to do the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, that's going to open you up, and then we'll put you into labor in the morning.
Yeah.
We'll pop your, we'll break your water.
Right.
We'll give you Pitocin. The balloon's just going to warm you up. We'll put you, I was,
yep.
I had been in freaking labor all night. So anyway, so I'm in full bone tradition. There is nobody in the room. There's no nurse. There's no, nobody. And I'm like, holy crap.
Mm-mm.
So I text my husband. I was like, James, get back here or you're not going to see this child come into the world.
He probably thought you were losing your mind.
I was like, what have I? I was kind of pissed at myself. I was like, what have I done? I am now alone. I don't have Micah, my normal doula. Like nobody knows what's going on. I have not communicated to anyone that I'm people for all the nurses know they're going to come break my water.
Right.
Pitocin. And I'm like, I'm ready to go.
Yep.
So James gets back to the hospital. I'm like fully going and I was super fatigued. So I just, I called a nurse because I was like, holy crap. Like
mm-hmm.
we are definitely well. So they check me and they're like, oh, you're at like an 8.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So I had just all night long and I ordered the epidural cause I was dying. But again, it's like the same thing. I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. well I've labored this whole time. Why am I doing this to myself? But I get the epidural and then it did take me a while to get, again, the epidural slowed things down. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to get from like a 7 or 8 or wherever I was to like, basically they 10. Told me just sit here. Once you feel a ton of pressure,
right,
let us know.
Yep. When you have an epidural, because you can't feel anything, you're able to just chill and mm-hmm. relax and let your body finish doing what it was doing and allow baby to what they call labor down, which means baby is continuing to descend. Even though you're 10 centimeters and you could push, you don't have to
mm-hmm.
because baby's just continuing to come lower and lower and lower. Yeah. So instead of pushing baby lower to descend, your body is contracting and bringing baby lower and you didn't have to do anything. So that is why it's taking longer. You could be pushing and it would be quicker, but you're saving a ton of energy by allowing baby just to labor down because you don't feel anything.
Yeah. So I thought back to that and I actually made a post on my Instagram about this labor. I had someone there with me when I got out of that bed and realized, okay, I'm in transition.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were going to put me in labor, but where that ship has sailed.
Yep.
If I had someone with me, I think I could have done it because
oh yeah,
I mentally was like, oh, I recognized it now.
Yep.
So I'm kind of like and Rachel would have loved it too. So I'm like, oh, bummer. Like I wish I had gotten you there earlier. Anyways, so I just couldn't. I didn't feel like I could go it alone.
Yeah.
And no, I was in the room totally by myself.
Yeah.
But I will say the laboring down part.
Mm.
So you're sitting there just totally chilling. For me, it felt like orgasmic.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But in a uncomfortable way because I wanted, because it's like, that's a feeling that's quick and fleeting. Yes. You know, you don't want that button pressed for 10 minutes yes, straight.
Correct. That's interesting. Yeah, I've definitely heard of women that while they're giving birth and they're pushing, they have an orgasm. That's a thing. So, it's not super common, but it is definitely a thing. So that's so interesting.
So if it happens quickly, then I mean, great. Like, yeah. Amazing. That's probably the best outcome. But for me, as I'm sitting there with the epidural and the baby is laboring down, Micah, must have been on my nerves or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was pressing on it without pause.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like giddy. I was more like, I would like this to actually stop.
Irritated. Yeah.
And they were like, Rachel and James were like laughing at me because I'm like, y'all, it's not painful. I'm having an epidural. I feel the pressure, but it's like,
you're at a 10.
Yeah.
The whole time. Yeah. Got it. Got
so
it.
I'm like, all right, this is like weird. You're kind of just like y'all can't see me right now, but you're just like, make that like face and you're like, you can't, it's just like, it's not stopping. So everyone was laughing at me and thought that was hilarious, except for me, who was like, I would like this to stop. And then eventually it was like, whoo, there's so much pressure.
Yeah.
You can literally feel the head right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we pushed briefly. They pulled my legs back. Baby,
yep.
Baby came into the world.
Yep.
And then it with both of, and this one was actually longer than Demi's, it took a long time for the feeling in my legs to come back, which, and I didn't have that same high. Yeah. And so, and this is why if I have another baby, I have an 11-month-old right now, so my husband's probably like, no. But
your husband's not going to be super happy with your podcast.
But I will try, I will really, and I could talk about why my other births resulted in the way they did. And there's no failure in any of it. But absolutely. I remember afterwards just feeling this huge rush of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to eat right away. And I was very awake and alert and coherent and excited and adrenalized. Yeah. I felt like if what you could describe it as is a runner's high from like post marathon. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And it's very unique. It's like a birthing high.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Oh my gosh. So true. And so I was like, I can't wait to have my next baby. I was just excited for the experience again. Cause it was as painful as it was. That was the best I felt afterwards.
Yeah.
With all three of my births.
So. Yep. That's so good. I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
Cause that's important for people to know. Yeah. It's exhausting. It's the hardest thing you're ever going to do. But then I just recently had Gabrielle, my daughter, on for a podcast episode, and she said it like you're saying it. I wanted to be a part of the whole experience. I wanted to feel and be present in all of it, start to finish. Yes, even the hard parts that sucked, but it was, those are also the parts that strengthen you later to go, oh my gosh, I did that. What?
That's what makes it so sweet. That's why that photo exists, where you're just like, oh man, you feel so like superwoman. You feel so accomplished.
Yeah. Yeah.
But even, and there's often this like trope of like, oh, you don't get a medal. But I will say it's not, I get it. And I've done all three, so I understand.
Yeah.
But it really is a unique to an all natural birth feeling of the extreme. Obviously, no matter how you have the baby, you love your baby. But
this it's got nothing to do with how you feel about your baby.
Bodily adrenalized rush I only experienced with my all natural birth because I think I was obviously feeling like other things. And I had my epidural where I just couldn't feel anything, and that it was totally different.
Right.
Where I could truly, like, all of my senses were pumping type deal. So that was, if I do it again,
that's good.
Last baby, last rodeo, I'm gonna do it the way I want to do it.
So. Oh, you can totally do it. Yeah. Your body's got this.
I might just have to drive back to Waco to have my fourth and get my car. Like, or you'll drive up to, who knows? We'll have to figure something out. But
charter me in.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
So unique experiences. And I talk about this a lot too on my podcast. Even with the same mom, her birth experiences are different. And so I think Sam said it really, really well early on. You were looking at an old map of your birth experience, number one, and trying to use that map to navigate birth experience number two. And she's absolutely right. That does not work. That won't help you. Really, the only benefits that you get from previous births is that you can check a few boxes to go, oh, yeah, I know what a contraction feels like. Oh, yeah, I know what it feels like when baby descends. Oh, I remember this, but for the most part, in terms of how your experience is going to be from start to finish, it will look different.
Yeah. As different as your children are, as different, you know, like your births are different. So I think that mentally you should go into it. It's like running a race on a new trail. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's ahead, but I'm here to run it.
Yeah. And you trained for it. Mm-hmm. You know what to do. You don't know exactly what to expect, but
I know how to run.
Yep.
So I'm here for whatever it comes my way.
Actually, to me, it's a great analogy. Sports for me is a great analogy for childbirth, because while you have developed these skills and techniques and understanding or plays or whatever it is, and you've been practicing those and you're prepared for that, you don't know how the game will unfold.
Exactly.
You don't know how each player is going to show up for that game. I mean, you may have your heavy hitter, your best shooter, have an off game. So that means the game plan could potentially look different. You may have different personnel in there. You may have thought that the game that y'all were going to smoke this team, that was your hardest game. You know, you can't predict how it's going to unfold. And the same thing is true with birth. You don't know what your body, your baby, or your birth is going to dictate in terms of how this is going to go. And I think it's super important. Sam, you said this also. It doesn't mean that if it's a different experience and it's not what you thought it was going to be, that you failed. It's just a different experience. And so I think wrapping our heads around that part of it too, that my birth experience can still be positive, even though it was different. And to highlight those moments, to highlight those things that were positive, that were enjoyable, that were lighthearted, which is what my book is all about. Let's highlight those things that are, what can I celebrate about this birth? Mm-hmm. You know?
I think I have, like, when I'm in it, I decided early on, like, who my people are. And then if you're not my people, like, I don't want anything to do with you.
Yeah.
Type deal.
Yeah.
And so it's funny because even, like, there's, like, a whole, I did not realize this, a whole slew of team of nurses. You've got a few that are with you while you're laboring. But then, right. like, once baby comes, like, a million more people.
Yeah.
And so I was more like, okay, these are my people. If you're someone else, like, I'm obviously very thankful for nurses.
Sure.
But at the same time, I was like,
Can we do this without y'all?
Well, it's more like I did not want, and this is another reason why it's great to have a doula, I did not want a lot of people talking to me. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to be like, hey, direct questions to Micah. Mm-hmm. Because you're in pain or whatever it's going on.
Yeah.
And then people are trying to talk to you or ask you questions or this. Can y'all just talk to Micah? And so it's really nice to have someone kind of fielding that onslaught of, yeah. Because they need to inform you, like inform consent in a lot of, hey, this is what we're doing and why. And I'm like, just tell Micah, you know, so it's nice to have someone else yeah. that's fielding or being a buffer between you and the medical team.
Right.
Especially
right.
someone that knows them for the most part, because I know that you're very consistent in that hospital. So you yeah. know a lot of them.
Yeah.
So because I didn't want people. It was too much. It was like decision fatigue. Right. So it was too
yes.
much.
Yes. This has been wonderful to get to hear your experiences. You do an absolutely fabulous job of painting the picture of what it looks like start to finish. That's so, so helpful. It's so helpful for other people. So there are listeners that haven't had a baby yet. Maybe they are expecting, who knows? Is there any piece of advice, any last thought or word that you would want to encourage them in?
Oh man, you can do it. Like I said, there maybe is a, it's even my own self. There's some, I would call this like misinformation or misinformed in that you need to be like super physically fit to be all mm-hmm. natural, or you need to check these certain boxes. Like women have been doing this.
Yeah.
Of all shapes, sizes,
yeah.
whatever
yeah.
it may be.
Yeah.
Like you can do it if yeah. you don't make a plan, don't have a team, don't prepare, have yeah. an idea of what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just going to kind of fall into the cog mm-hmm. of what
is being thrown at you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and again, that's not happy, healthy baby is the end goal.
Totally.
But you know, if you want certain outcomes mm-hmm. and there's reasons for those certain outcomes, like recovery, things like that, I wanted to breastfeed. There's things right. like that. So then I just, my advice is like, have a plan, have a team. Mm-hmm. Do not walk into this willy nilly.
Yeah.
Like you can do it.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then
right.
I think you're really taking a gamble. So that's my advice, is good. To have that plan in place.
That's good. That's yeah. great. Mm-hmm. Sam, this has been so much fun. Thank you for joining me today. And thank you all for joining us. Thank you for listening to My Doula Micah. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube at My Doula Micah. We can also get connected at MyDoulaMicah.com. If you're interested in checking out my book, the link to The Humor in Birth, Stories and Insights from a Doula can be found on all of these social platforms. Be sure to share and subscribe. I'll be here next week, so please be sure to join me again. And this podcast was produced by Rogue Media Network.
This has been a Rogue Media Network podcast.